Our first lesson this morning will come from Jeremiah chapter 33, 14 through 16. And if you would like to follow along, you can follow along on page 694 in your Old Testament. And then our second lesson will come from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. And if you would like to follow along in our second lesson, it may be found on page 80 of your New Testament. Hear now these words. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of God written for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And hear now our gospel lesson. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things began to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When he told them a parable, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On this first Sunday of Advent, I want you to come with me on a journey of the imagination. It won't be an imaginary journey, because what I will tell you is absolutely true. I know it's true because it happened to me. But I need you to try to imagine the scenes that I will describe. And I want you also to use your memory to discover whether some of these similar images may have occurred in your own younger years. So let's go on this journey together to an Advent of the past. If you'd like to close your eyes, you're welcome to, if that'll help you imagine. The year is 1963. It's the early part of December. December 1st, in fact, the first Sunday of Advent. Just 9 days ago, on November 22nd, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. The country is in shock. At least that's what the newsmen on our black and white TV said. My mom and dad don't let me watch that much TV. I think they're trying to shield me from the news of this world. Because I'm 5 years old and Christmas is coming. That's the most important thing to me and my family right now. 24 days to go, and then Santa Claus will show up with all those cool presents. How can we possibly wait for 24 days? My parents promised us that Christmas will come. We just have to be patient. But that's so hard. We're standing outside in the cold air at the base of our driveway at 2333 Brandon Road in Columbus, Ohio. We're looking up at that two-story white house with the black shutters. Mom always had a bright red front door, so that's how my sisters and I can tell when we're getting close to home as we're walking down the street. As we come close to that red front door, we see how pretty it looks during Advent. Every year, Dad buys a balsam fir wreath from L.L. Bean in Freeport, Maine, and Mom hangs that dark green wreath on the bright red front door. That wreath smells so good as we walk into our front hall. Just over our heads in that hallway is a wooden plaque with our family crest painted on it, the Morris family crest. My mom's family comes from Germany, but my dad's family goes back to England and Wales. Dad tells me that those funny shapes and those strange colors are the symbols of our family, going back many generations before the Morris family came across to this country. Dad also says that those funny words printed below the crest are a Latin motto, our family motto. Almost every time we come through the front door, I ask him what that says, because it seems so funny to me. And every time I ask, Dad answers me with patience and gentleness. Tiger, that says, although late, yet it will come. Boy, when I think about those 4 long weeks we'll have to wait until Christmas, our family motto really starts to make sense. Although late, yet it will come. Looking around the living room, we can see the Advent calendar on the bookcase. My German grandmother, Mutti, always sends us an Advent calendar every year. My sisters and I love to open the tiny paper windows each day to see what is hidden underneath. 24 paper windows with a surprise inside, one for each day of Advent, and then the big one on Christmas Day. On the table in the center of our living room, we can see the Advent wreath with the 3 purple candles and the 1 pink candle. We just lighted the first candle today, this afternoon, after we got back from Mass at St. Agnes Catholic Church. You know, I really can't wait until our church is completely decorated for Christmas. This morning at Mass, they had set up the creche with the painted clay figures of Mary and Joseph. They had the shepherds and the wise men. That creche is right there at the base of the altar. So after the service, my mom and I walked up to take a closer look. I've always liked the cows and the sheep. But it was kind of weird, though. I've never seen cows and sheep that were as clean as the one there in the creche. Up above those figures is a bright star shining in gold metallic paint. The tiny manger is there now, filled with straw, but no baby Jesus yet. We have to wait a long time to see the baby Jesus figure. But standing there at that empty manger, I looked up above the creche, above the altar, and I couldn't help but stare at the figure of the older Jesus Christ hanging from the cross, bleeding and looking very sad and lonely. It's confusing to see that. Mary and Joseph are waiting to see their baby son Jesus in the manger with those clean sheep and cows, but there he is as an older guy up there on that crucifix, desperate and dying. As we stand there in that quiet church, my mind drifts back to our family motto, although late, yet it will come. Well, come back with me now to present-day Aurora, Colorado, to Burns United Methodist Church on this first Sunday of Advent of 2006. Did any of those images of my memories bring to your mind images out of your own childhood? As I was considering these texts from Scripture that William read today, I was struck by how familiar and how appropriate is our Morris family motto. For the people of Jeremiah's time, they couldn't imagine how long they might have to wait to be saved, how long it would take before God's promises came true. But through the prophet Isaiah, God spoke to the people. God always keeps God's promises, the one made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Jerusalem will live in safety. God promised that there will always be a king in the line of David, and that ultimately this Davidic king will execute justice and righteousness. Although late, yet it will come. Jeremiah didn't know it at the time, but he was prophesying the coming of the Christ child Jesus from the house of David. And then when we turn to the scripture passage from the Gospel of Luke, we hear that same Christ child, all grown up now, as he talks about the events that will lead up to his second coming. When you think about Advent, it's likely that our initial impression is that we are preparing for Christmas and for the coming of the baby Jesus. But when you look at the definition of Advent, you find that it actually comes from a Latin word that means arrival, and that it refers to both the incarnation and the second coming. Advent speaks to us about both times that Jesus will arrive as a little baby in a manger, but also as the judge at the end of time. And we live now in that time between. We live in that image with the creche at our feet, looking up at the crucified Christ and looking beyond it up to heaven. For modern Christians, the Protestant cross seems to me to be a more appropriate symbol for our circumstance now. Our cross is empty because Jesus Christ has already been resurrected and he has already returned to the right hand of the Father. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We will say those words this morning as we celebrate Holy Communion, because we live in that time between. Although late, yet it will come. We're waiting for Jesus to come back as Christians have been waiting for almost 2,000 years. And you know, if you read in the modern literature, many people are afraid of that second coming. Many people believe in the rapture. But that is not really what the Bible describes for us. That's not what Jesus taught us. When he describes the events leading up to the second coming, he uses a peaceful parable, a fig tree that sprouts leaves in anticipation of the summer. And what Jesus promised for the second coming is justice and righteousness. Jesus has instructions for us as we wait for him to return. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. One thing we need to understand is that Jesus does not want us to sit idly by as we await his return. Because in biblical parlance, waiting is an active verb. In the next few weeks, we will hear what John the Baptist had to say about active waiting. But Jesus describes this waiting as being on our guard so that our hearts are not weighed down by three elements of life that were a problem in the first century and can be an equally difficult problem in the 21st century as well. It's ironic that these problems are described now because on a simplistic level, these are temptations that often occur during the Christmas season. But on a deeper level, they are temptations that can cause us to move away from the path of discipleship. Jesus talks about being weighed down by dissipation. That means that we can be spread too thin. We can become scattered in our lives. Does that sound familiar? It also means that we can fall into the trap of seeking pleasure excessively, that we can look outside ourselves for meaning rather than inside. Jesus warns us against drunkenness. Now, clearly he was talking about the abuse of alcohol, but I think there is more to it than that. As human beings, we can become drunk on power, drunk on the illusion that we can be in control of our lives and in control of the world. But the bottom line, God is in control of the universe, and God is in charge of our lives. And finally, Jesus warns us about being on our guard against heavy hearts brought about by the worries of this life. Times are tough, and the list of frustrations and problems is mounting, but Jesus is reminding us of the temptation of taking ourselves too seriously. Although late, yet it will come. For thousands of years, God has promised God's people justice and righteousness, a return to the design of creation that God had in mind from the start. There have been tantalizing glimpses of God's justice and righteousness over the centuries, but the people of God continue to wait for, to hope for, and to yearn for the completion of God's kingdom. And in this season of Advent, Jesus calls us to work in every way we can for the realization of God's dream. On this first Sunday of Advent, Christians throughout the world continue to wait for, to hope for, and to yearn for the coming of that little baby boy in the Bethlehem manger with the clean sheep and cows and that shining star overhead. That star shines brightly with the promise of justice and righteousness for all people. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.